Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Donald Trump is currently addressing troops at the US airbase in Qatar as he continues his tour of the Middle East. He says he wants to end conflicts, not start them. But with no breakthrough in sight in the Gaza ceasefire talks, aid organisations are sounding the alarm over the dire humanitarian conditions there, where Israel's aid blockade continues and reports overnight say that airstrikes have killed at least 62 people. Well, for more, we're joined by special correspondent with PBS, Leila Milana Allen. Good morning to you, Leila, and thank you for being with us. Now, we know there had been hopes of a diplomatic breakthrough on Gaza in Doha. It hasn't come to pass. That blockade of aid continues, and we're hearing reports this morning from medics in Gaza. They're saying this is the most challenging aid situation of the war so far, describing increasing malnutrition, particularly amongst children and undernourished pregnant mothers. It truly is a desperate situation, isn't it?
It's absolutely dire. This is now 10 weeks that no aid has been allowed into Gaza. And remember that before the war even started, more than half of people in Gaza were already reliant on aid. That's now everyone. People across the strip have been displaced four, five, six times. They're now facing displacement again, as Israel says they're launching this major new campaign. People can barely move. I mean, people are saying things like, I am too weak to move because I have not eaten in several days. Dozens of children have now died of malnutrition. When it's not malnutrition, it's the water. There is so little access to clean water that they're getting horrendous diseases. I was speaking to some people yesterday who were in that area of Gaza City where the IDF issued a warning that they were going to attack. And just to say that the places they said were their targets were largely schools and hospitals. And if you remember at the beginning of the war, the IDF said we wouldn't even attack one hospital. That's now happening daily, those attacks. And the people I was speaking to were saying, we're not even going to move because we have nowhere to go. We wouldn't even have the petrol to get there, to travel if we could. And we only have one place to shelter, which is our home. So we're just going to stay here and hope for the best. We just don't have the energy to displace ourselves again.
And Leila, there is this sense as well of the clock ticking and mounting international concern over Israel's plans to really significantly expand its military offensive in Gaza. And the clock is ticking towards the departure of Donald Trump from the Middle East, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And here's the thing. This trip was nothing to do with Israel and Gaza. And his administration said that from the beginning. They said this is purely a financially motivated trip. This is about business deals. However, of course, having the US leader in the region is going to be influential on this, particularly as certain leaders like the Saudi leader is pushing very hard for a deal. The Qataris, of course, where he was yesterday, have been very involved in negotiations too. So it's a really good opportunity. Now, there does seem to have been a little bit of movement on this. Steve Witkoff, who is Trump's Middle East envoy, was originally very much on the side of the Israelis, saying that, you know, he wanted to negotiate essentially what Benjamin Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel, wants, which is an extension of the original ceasefire deal in which some more hostages would be released, but the war isn't officially over. That seems to have changed now. Witkoff seems to be saying, no, I'm actually going to push for an all-out ceasefire, which obviously is very favourable to all the people in Gaza who desperately want this war to be over. The problem is Israel has very clearly said they are going to extend their campaign. They have no interest in withdrawing the IDF and that they plan to hang on to Gaza, at least in terms of security coordination, indefinitely. They said it won't be an occupation, but that does sound a lot like an occupation. So this again sounds like a standoff. And unfortunately, what's happening right now is this isn't even just about the dozens of people being killed in bombing every day. It's about the extension of this humanitarian crisis. As I say, 10 weeks without anything entering the strip. This is absolutely dire, and people are facing the most horrifying conditions they have in this 19-month long war.
Well, let's turn to Donald Trump now and what he has been saying over the course of his visit. He's made the news headlines in Qatar for that line that Iran has sort of agreed to the terms of a nuclear deal. What more do we know about that?
Well, this is based essentially on the move that towards what used to be the nuclear deal, which, of course, was cancelled under the last Trump administration, which everyone was incredibly angry about, particularly European leaders. We do seem to be moving towards making that deal again, but it's very unclear what exactly Iranian leaders are arguing for. They have said that they want certain concessions, they want to be allowed to generate more uranium, because, of course, one of the issues here is that they use nuclear power for a huge amount of electricity and energy in the country. Initially, the Trump administration was saying, we want a complete reduction of all production, we're not going to allow any of it to move forward. Now it does seem that they have reached some sort of agreement similar to what was agreed under the last deal. And what's interesting is that Trump seems to have changed his attitude towards Iran. He was initially saying, essentially these are malign actors, we're not going to give them any leeway. He now seems to have realized that he doesn't want another enemy. One thing he did come into office saying is he doesn't want any wars at all. So if they're able to move towards some sort of deal similar to the previous one, that could lead to less hostile relations between the US and Iran. And right now he wants to focus on business, which was exactly what we've been seeing the last few days in the Gulf. We've seen huge deals made by him. We've seen $200 billion worth of deals made in Doha, $600 billion worth in Saudi Arabia, including one of the biggest arms deals to Saudi Arabia that we've ever seen. That's planes and missiles being sold. So at the moment, he does seem to be really, really focused on trying to make peace wherever possible and prioritize financial deals for the US, which, of course, in the face of these huge tariffs that he's introduced, is in the best interest of the country if they're not going to see some pretty serious trade problems coming up.
And he has said in the last few moments to US troops there in Doha that he wants to end conflicts, not start them. That is my priority. But I will never hesitate to wield American power if it's necessary to defend the United States of America or our partners. Now, he has another stop to make once he's wrapped up in Qatar. He's going to the United Arab Emirates. You spoke about these deals that he's been striking in the other locations. Do you expect to hear and see more of the same when he gets to the UAE?
Very much so. And here's part of what's happening. There's two really interesting elements to this trip. One is what I was just talking about, you know, in terms of this kind of slightly different attitude towards Iran, the fact that just a few weeks ago he was saying, I don't care at all about Israel Gaza anymore. But of course, he is now making postures on that again. He also, of course, met with Syria's new leader the other day as well. And just a few weeks ago, he was saying, I don't care about Syria. He met with Ahmad al-Sharr in Saudi Arabia, a former jihadi, shook his hand, sat with him for half an hour, and suddenly announced on Tuesday that he was going to lift sanctions on Syria, which is a huge development for the country if that does happen. He says we want to give Syria a chance. So what's really interesting here is he's clearly listening to the voices of people around him. He's said that he's very close to Turkey's President Erdogan. He's also been listening to Mohammed bin Salman in Saudi Arabia. So we could see that, you know, a kind of hand-in-hand of these trade deals and political encouragement moving forward. If he does want to end these conflicts, he's listening to people in the region. That's likely to happen in the Emirates too. What we're definitely going to see in the Emirates, I think, is some sort of technology deal. What's happening with all these Gulf countries is that they are worried that they've been so oil-dependent, they need to move forward and create new industry before that oil runs out. What the Emiratis want is essentially trade deals with the US that bring down the rates they have to pay to bring in very key technology for them to use so that they can become an information technology leader in the region. They want to be able to bring in certain kinds of chips that are made in America, things like that. And in return, of course, Trump is going to want some favorable trade deals for the US. So I think we'll see probably several billion dollars again of trade today. Trump came out yesterday saying he hopes that he might have made $3 to $4 trillion worth of business by the time he leaves this trip.
Okay, well, he's still talking there to the American troops at their Qatar airbase. Leila, thank you very much for taking us through it. Leila Milana Allen there, special correspondent with PBS.